Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
Revived Thoughts is a production of Revive Studios.
This is Troy and Joel, and you are listening to Revive Thoughts.
We will always be happy if we are dwelling by faith on the work of the Lord Jesus, suiting it to ourselves.
Every episode, we bring you a different voice from history and a sermon that they delivered. Today, we're listening to a sermon by George Mueller. It was preached in England in the late 1800s. I always love George Mueller, Troy. George Mueller, probably, certainly in the top three in my mind of Revived Thoughts subjects that we've covered. Definitely someone that I wasn't familiar with before Revived Thoughts, and now is like a staple in my life. When people talk to me about missionaries from past, I'm always like, yo. I mean, I always start with the Hudson Taylor, but then, have you also heard about this George Mueller? You need to get into this George Mueller. And we're if you're unfamiliar with George Mueller, man, by the end of this intro, I think you'll also be a fan, because it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, Joel, I'm starting to be convinced that George Mueller paid you to say his name so many times, because that was some solid PR marketing right there.
Thank you.
I agree, though. I only very faintly knew the story of George Mueller before this, and having done several episodes on him, he was actually the very first episode in our feed that you'll listen to, and this will be the last episode for this summer. Revive Thoughts will be taking a break for the summer. We kind of tend to do this. It started a couple years ago. The summer is when Elise over from Martyrs and Missionaries and I head back to the States. We do some traveling. We speak at different churches. We're just very busy. It's extremely difficult to do all that while also recording episodes of these podcasts, so we take a break for a couple months. So I wanted to leave us all with a really nice one to kind of have in the, George Mueller just felt right to close this season on. We will be back. I already have several episodes recorded by different people. So there's no problem there. We will definitely be, we've got to get one, two, three, four. We have already like five or six episodes waiting to go out. So sorry to make those people wait. I'm sure there'll be even more too as time goes on, but that's great. That's good. That's what we want. That's what's going to happen. George Mueller is genuinely, I think of all the people we've done on this show, I don't say I look up to him the most, but I think I've applied what I've learned from him the most. And I think he's had the biggest direct impact on my personal life. Mm. Like when times are hard, things are bad. It's like, I tell my wife, I'm like, we just got to George Mueller it. We just got to put it all in prayer and trust God to do this thing. And it sounds weird, but there's just like a level of just trust that having read his diary and all that stuff that he had, that I don't think I'll ever get close to emulating. But I do think that seeing someone like him do it in modern days, not just like, because we see it with scripture, we do see it with Paul and Peter, we see it with these people in scripture, but seeing someone recently, like who's like us, a regular, the guys in scripture are regular guys, but he feels like a regular guy doing it, really encouraged me to like say, okay, that stuff that was happening in the scripture is not just for those great, amazing apostles. He really demonstrated to me like we can all do it if we just trust God. Joel, go ahead and give us the run up here on this guy. You tell in case the audience is forgotten, because it's been a while since our last one, or they're new to George Mueller. Tell us some facts.
Born in the year 1805, George Mueller was born in Germany, and by his own admission, by his own testimony, he was a terrible kid. He was a scoundrel, a real scum of the earth type of fellow. Grew up stealing, gambling, drinking. He has this account where he talks about how he refused to go to his own mother's deathbed because he was having too much fun partying. So, really paints a picture for the type of person that George Mueller was, the type of person that God saved, you know, out of that lifestyle, out of that self-centered, self-focused depravity that he was in. He did get thrown into jail at one point due to his criminal activity. And when he came out, his father said, I'm going to ship you away to religious school. I want you to become a priest because priests have steady paychecks. And that way, maybe it'll get you out of this whole thieving thing. Maybe you won't spend the rest of your life all locked up in prison. And that we've seen this from time to time again back in the day. There were few jobs that had steady stability. You know, like we see people becoming lawyers. It's really just lawyers and priests. Would you say, Troy? What are some of the other like staple jobs we see?
I mean, I guess there are like businessmen, but I really agree with you when you say it's like lawyer, priest. And then maybe in like 100 or 200 years, you know, I guess 1800s is that time. You'll see a lot of professor kind of things too.
Sure.
But I agree. Yeah. I feel like if your dad is saying you need to grow up to be a lawyer, there's like an 80% chance you're going to become a pastor. And if your name is John, it's sealed. You're 100% chance you're going to grow up to be a pastor.
All right. So while he was at this Bible school, he was invited to a Bible study, and he went with the intention of making fun of it. He was going to go and have himself a good time, picking fun, maybe bullying the people around a little bit. But the Lord used it, and he found out, hey, there's something going on here. He was surprised to realize that he actually liked it. He came back, and he started coming back again, and eventually he was converted to a genuine believer there, and thus started his journey of following the Lord and becoming, I consider him a missionary. He had various duties, various roles. What he's most famously known for are the orphanages that he ran in England. He ran multiple orphanages, and most kind of uniquely, he never asked for money from other people. And this was kind of this theme that we see in the late 1800s, early 1900s. The one that it's when Troy and I talk about George Mueller and this role model, this humbling figure that he is, it's this idea of this faith missions where you go in to something big with nothing to really sustain it, just with faith that the Lord will provide it, because you're convinced that that's what God has called you to. And Hudson Taylor similarly goes to China with no money and just sees how God provides. George Mueller, through the power of prayer, time and time again, we see God provide for all of these ministry opportunities. And it's incredible to see. And if you haven't read his biography, definitely worth doing. So many unique vignettes of how God is providing in ways. And again, he's not fundraising. He's literally just praying, and through miracle after miracle, God makes it possible. And this is despite hardships. His life was not very easy. He saw children of his pass away. He saw his wife pass away. So he went through some emotions. He went through some hard times, but definitely goes down in history for one of the most inspirational people, I think, at least in my own personal life.
Yeah, and I will say too, the faith missions, you described it very well. And I think this is one of the things, you know, I remember we were talking about this one time with some people, and they were kind of like, yeah, but that's for George Mueller. That's not for, you know, something like you to worry about. It was almost kind of like, you're not a George Mueller. But if you read the diary that he wrote, the whole mission statement of George Mueller was not, I'm this special guy. Look what God can do when a special guy loves Jesus. His entire thesis, his entire thing was like, if every Christian would just do this, would just trust God to take care of them, would just go and do what God says and just ask God to provide the means and just go in that kind of faith, you would also see these great things that are happening in my life aren't because I'm a super great Christian. All these great things you see happening in George's life, he was trying to, you know, just encourage people. They're accessible to everybody. God is wanting to do great things in this world. And so often what's lacking is not, it's not the super Christians. It's just the lack of prayer. And I will say in my own personal life, testimony to George Mueller and testimony to, of course, ultimately the Lord who answers prayers, I have seen this experience myself where I have just looked at things and gone, man, I don't have the funds for that, or I don't see absolutely any way through that. But I tell my wife, we're going to Mueller this thing. We're going to sit here. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God. And it happens. The Lord makes that movement. And it sounds so weird, because I'm like, it's like I'm asking you as the audience, like, believe me, God answers prayer. But it's like, you know, because we all know that he does. And yet, I do find that so often I feel like we try to fix every problem through everything except for the most straightforward, easy way to fix our problems, which is just going to the Lord in prayer. And George Mueller, really, I love it because there were so many times where in my life, I was like, I don't have the answers to this. I don't know how to do these things. I'm not smart enough or clever enough. And it just, prayer takes care of so many of those problems in ways that I just can't explain. Anyway, so George Mueller, I really love this guy. And so that's one of the reasons why today I want to kind of do a different little look at his life. If you've listened to our other episodes on Mueller, we're not just going to repeat the stuff you've heard before. This episode is all about like the statistics. Like if you were looking George Mueller up in the Guinness Book of World Records of Christians, what are his stats? Like, well, how does he rank up in your major leagues or something like that? Like what's he doing? Because when you just hear his life by the numbers, it's breathtaking how much the Lord did through this one person. And you said, is he, you know, you mentioned multiple times, is he a missionary? And people look at George Mueller and they think of him with the orphanages. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about the orphanages. But at the age of 70, he started traveling the world to tell the world about his orphanages, to tell the world about how Jesus used his works. And he traveled 200,000 miles across the globe in 17 years. This was before the invention of airplanes. This is by steamships and sailboats and trains or horses. He's crisscrossing the world until about the age of 87, when he's just genuinely too old to keep traveling anymore and telling everyone, hey, here are these orphans I took care of. Here's how God took care of them. He would preach in three different languages across those 15 years. And when he wasn't preaching to large crowds of people or anybody really, he would be meeting sometimes with very famous people. Like he met at the time with the president of the United States, Rutherford Hayes, which I didn't vote for, but he wasn't one of our presidents, I guess. He personally gave away a very large sum of money too, and he kept meticulous notes so that we know how much money he gave away. Of the money that was handed directly to him, we'll talk about the money that he gave out to orphans and schools, but we're talking about the money that people said, hey, George, I've been praying for you. Here's some money for you to take care of your needs. When we adjust it all for inflation and we take a look at his whole entire life, of his personal money that was donated to him, he then went on to donate the equivalent today of $700,000, which is an amazing sum of money for a man who ran a zillion different charities. And this is, again, the money people gave it to him, and he was like, nah, I have enough. I'm going to give this money on to other people. That number just astounds me. I mean, I would love to say that at the end of my life, if people could count all my money up and I gave nearly $1 million to help other people and see the world, know me, all of that, that would be a really, I don't think they're going to, but if that would happen, that would be a really startling testimony to my trust in Christ. And remember, this is a man who lived on support and donations. Like his entire model was, I pray to Christ, whatever God gives me, I'm going to use that for the kingdom. Oh, but I have all this, I have almost $1 million extra that he ends up giving up and giving out to other people. He was never like a rich, big shot celebrity. He didn't write book deals. He didn't have celebrity conferences. He wasn't doing any of that stuff and gave out of his excess. This is just people gave him the support he needed. And so he went on to give off a bunch of money. I remember for me, there's one very specific moment where I kind of like, where it just, I don't know, for me, it clicked that like George Mueller's something special. And it was when I was actually reading, not anything by George Mueller, I was reading Hudson Taylor. You mentioned him, Joel's diary. And Hudson Taylor and actually Mueller were friends. And when I was reading his diary, there was this moment where Hudson Taylor was like, man, things were tough. The hospital was almost out of money. But thankfully, we got a donation from George Mueller. And it was just the money we needed in that moment. We'd been praying for him. It just always surprises me. Like this guy who had hundreds of orphans to take care of, who certainly could have been like, no, no, we can't see any money go out. We need to save it for a rainy day. You know, we need to make sure these kids are taken care of. But instead, he was, you know, throwing it to missionaries in China at the same time. He was just unbelievably generous.
Yeah, very different. Very, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around that mindset in our day and age where, yeah, fruit, like yeah. You're supposed to save money. It's so contradictory to how we think about things. There's this instance where one of his orphanages, or his initial orphanage that was up and running, it had to relocate. It had to move due to a variety of reasons. And so Mueller had this research project where they had to pick a new location and they had to build a new orphanage from scratch there. So once they decided where it was going to be built, George Mueller spent 5 weeks in prayer and it just asking God, all right, let's bring in the money to build this new orphanage. And it's needed. And it needed what is today about equivalent to $1 million or so, $1 million building. It took 2.5 years, but when all the money came in, they went out and they built it. And this was all without any fundraisers, any newsletters. This is just through prayer that God provided $1 million to build this orphanage, again, over the course of about 1.5 years. And over George Mueller's lifetime, they would build 4 more orphanages in this exact same way. Each one of those housing roughly around 300 kids or so that, again, there was that need for. There was a queue. There were kids waiting to be a part of orphanages. And it was a good place for, they had a reputation. It was a good place to be around. And there, I feel like with any era, you know, there might be accusations or debate or about how humane these areas were. George Mueller definitely had attacks like that where people would critique his orphanages. He did get the occasional accusation of maybe mistreating children or such. And there were investigations, reporters that would come and look at one of them. Is Charles Dickens, the author that wrote Oliver Twist. He heard about George Mueller's orphanages and some of these reports, and so he went and visited George Mueller at an orphanage, and George Mueller was happy to see him, you know, showed him around the facilities, proved to him that everything is in good care here. Like, look at what you want, ask whatever questions you want, talk to whoever you want, and really impressed Charles Dickens, and Charles Dickens ended up writing an article defending George Mueller and really championing the work that he's doing there and the orphanage, attacking the critics that were trying to poke at him, trying to aggravate it. In addition to the orphanages that he would spearhead, he also really had a big project circulating Bibles throughout his lifetime. In his lifetime, he gave out 250,000 Bibles to people that needed them, and over a million and a half New Testaments that he handed out.
Which is not a small number. It's more than I've given out so far, so I'm working on it. I'm not quite to the hundreds of thousands. Another statistic, according to the George Mueller Organization, it's like a website, georgemueller.org. I've got a lot of the stats from here, but not all of them. They were other places too. But they said that in his lifetime, so we talked about how he gave 700,000 of his own, you know, equivalent to today, of his own personal money. But in his lifetime, he gave away $129 million that he raised through all of his charities, ministries, and everything combined, and all again through prayer. He's not sending out newsletters. He's not doing, you know, cookie sales, bake sales, or he's just praying, and then people send money to him. He would put out once a year, like, tableau of like, here's our finances, here's what we're looking at, just to kind of let people know. But if you've ever read his diary, he actually one time intentionally released it late just to prove to everybody that the Lord would keep the orphanage going for another 6 months if he didn't release it, just to show like, hey, it's not the newsletter doing the work, it's just the Lord doing it. Anyway, so his orphanage also holds the world record. Most kids served with the children, 18,000 children cared for over the course of 150 years. Pretty cool. The Daily Telegraph said of him during the time that he had, quote, robbed the cruel streets of the thousands of victims they would have had, that the jails of thousands of future felons, and the workhouses of thousands of helpless children. So, I mean, that's a pretty good testament. If people can say at the end of your life that you saved the streets from victims, the jails from felons, and the workhouses from helpless children, that is not a bad quote to have going down by your name. During his funeral parade, the streets were packed in remembrance of him when he died, and 2,000 of his orphans and former orphans were in attendance. In his lifetime, just the orphans that he got to see taken care of while he was alive, 10,024 different orphans and his five different orphanages that were operating and running through, again, just the orphanage side of his ministry.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. using Acorns. Before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Ross Patterson or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Ross Patterson.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
So with running orphanages, he's also supplying a life for these kids, right? He's supplying all the food and clothes to take care of them, again, which is also not something that's cheap. He is providing training and schooling for them, which, again, at this time was very costly, and he's providing this all for free. He established 117 schools over his lifetime, with over 120,000 children getting an education through those schools. And probably, most incredibly, the thing that made the biggest impact, I think, in my personal life, and when I read this, it's something that I actually started doing as well, is that he started keeping track of his prayers and how God answered them. And I think this is super cool because I think it goes hand in hand with that faith missions. We talk about praying for things, but it's hard for us sometimes to remember how God has provided for us over the years. And so he would keep a prayer journal and log how God has answered his prayers. And by the time he died, he would reflect on how he said he's received answers to 50,000 prayers from God. He said he read his Bible over 200 times, and he believes that at least 3,000 of the orphans that came through his orphanages came to Christ by the time that he died. And I thought that was such a cool testament. Like, that's something that I want that. I want to, like, when I'm old, I want to be able to look back and go, look at all the ways that God provided. Look what all that God has done here. I don't want to forget those things, you know? So that's something I've started doing, is kind of trying to log how God answers prayers. So when you look at the numbers, it's hard to compare him to anyone else in history. It's kind of unique in that. I just think of all the differences that he's made in the work that he's done through the orphanages, through the schools, how that must have affected the lives of the families of those children, or the Bibles that he circulated. What kind of reach did those have? This sermon here is called How to Live a Happy Life. Give it a listen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These four verses are by the Holy Spirit written to the beloved brethren and sisters in Christ here present. All of us, more or less, need the counsel, advice, exhortation here given to us. May we seek now to listen to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, in them. Rejoice in the Lord always. This exhortation is given to believers, for none but these can rejoice in the Lord. In order to attend to it, we must first have been made to see our lost and ruined condition. We must own this before God, and then have put our sole trust for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In doing so, we become justified. We are regenerated. We are forgiven. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are brought into the road to heaven, and heaven will be our home at last. Entering into this, joy in the Lord commences, but only commences because, to the highest degree, it can be brought only in glory. But in a little degree, the joy of heaven then commences. And the more we lay hold on what we have obtained by faith in Christ Jesus, the greater we will be this peace and joy in God, the greater our real, true happiness while yet in the body. We should especially also couple with this, in order that this joy in the Lord may continue, the careful, diligent, habitual reading of the Holy Scriptures, a seeking to carry out in our life what God makes known to us in His precious Word, in order that we may attend to the second part of this exhortation. And again I say, rejoice. This is especially to be noted. Joy commences by attending to what I have mentioned. But this joy will continue for us. We will always be happy if we are dwelling by faith on the work of the Lord Jesus, suiting it to ourselves. We know how much has been spoken of this joy in the Lord. Philippians, in particular, is full of it. We have, in the beginning of chapter 3, this word, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Then it is repeated here, but with this especially weighty addition, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then, as if all this were not enough, it is once more repeated, "And again I say, rejoice." So much stress is laid on it because it tends so much to the glory of God to give testimony to the world that it is not a vain thing to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to show to the world how much we obtain through this faith in Him, and also by attending to it, we strengthen the hands of our fellow believers. Let your moderation be known to all men. Most of the beloved brethren and sisters here know that the meaning of the word moderation is yieldingness. It does not mean that we can go too far in the things of God. This never has been the case. We cannot pray too much, trust too much, love too much, or too much carry out the mind of Christ. It cannot be. But, as I said, the meaning is yieldingness. This is, though believers in Christ, we should not insist on our own rights, but be ready to yield to the world and to our brethren in Christ. And by manifesting this meek, this yielding spirit, we glorify God. Naturally, we might be inclined to say, if I do so, the people of the world will take great advantage of me. This would be the case if we had no Father in heaven who cared for us, if nor Lord Jesus Christ were our friend and helper. And immediately after, we read, "The Lord is at hand." Commit your matters into the hands of God. Leave yourself in His hands. He will look after you, care for you, and see that the people of the world do not overpower you and take too much advantage of you. Since you have a Father in heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ is your intimate friend and helper, it cannot be so. Then come two other most precious verses. Be careful for nothing. That, as we all know, does not mean be careless and unconcerned altogether about your family affairs and business matters and work and labor for the Lord, but as we again and again have heard, it means be anxious about nothing. It is the great privilege of the child of God not to be anxious, and it is possible to attain to it even in this life. Yet, in the midst of great difficulties, great trials, it can be attained to. It is attained to by not a few of the children of God. And by the grace of God, I am one of those who, for many a long year, have not been anxious. For more than 70 years, I have not been anxious. I have handed my burdens on to the Lord, and He has carried them for me. The result of that has been that peace of God, which passes all understanding, has kept my heart and mind. If we are anxious, it brings about a gloomy look, and a gloomy look greatly dishonors God and greatly deters the unconverted from seeking after the Lord. For they say to themselves, "That man, that woman is just as miserable as I am when I'm in trouble." But when they see we are in heavy trial, in heavy affliction, and yet there is found a cheerful look about us, our very look is an encouragement to the unconverted, and also strengthens the hands of our fellow believers in God. And therefore, beloved, let us aim at this, that we are not anxious. As I stated, it is to be obtained. But we cannot obtain it by our own resolutions, by saying to ourselves, I will go through it bravely. We have to, in our weakness and helplessness, hand our burdens to God. Then it is brought about that we have the peace of God. Let me affectionately press this on the hearts of my beloved brethren and sisters in Christ, for it brings about a miserable life if we carry our own trials, our own burdens. Even the lightest trials and burdens will be found too heavy for us if carried in our own strength. For when we do it by ourselves, we oblige our Heavenly Father to step in and make the burden heavier. If we, in our foolishness and self-importance, try to carry the burden ourselves, then, speaking after the manner of men, the 10-pound weight will be made 50. And if, in our high-mindedness, we try to carry that, he makes it 100. And if we foolishly think we can carry the burden, it will be made still far more, so that God may make us see how weak we are and that we cannot carry the burden ourselves. The next thing which I desire affectionately to commend for your soul's profit is the counsel. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That means not merely when the trial is exceedingly great, only then pray, but about little things, the ordinary affairs of life, to bring them all before God. And the result of this is the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Though this is a veil of tears, yet we are able to go cheerfully through the world. It is my habitual practice, about little things, to bring them before God. I never attempt to carry any burdens myself. I hand them to God and speak to God about them. Beloved Mr. Wright and myself, the first thing when we meet every morning, have prayer about the affairs of our work and bring everything before our God. The most tiny affairs we bring before God, hand them to Him. Do not attempt to carry them ourselves. Let me give here an illustration which some may not have heard out of my mouth. When, 62 years ago, God particularly laid on my heart to care about destitute orphans, the first thing was to seek to ascertain the mind of God whether I should be engaged in this work. And after a great deal of prayer, I came to the decision that it was the will of God. I tried my motives and invariably came to this decision. It is for the glory of God I seek to be engaged in this. Then I began to pray with regard to the various matters in which I needed the help of God. I asked God for money, for a house, for helpers to take care of the children, and He gave me all these. And about all the various articles of furniture, I asked God to guide and direct me, and did not think myself clever enough or wise enough to get them. Now all was ready for the orphans, and I fixed 2 hours when I would be in the vestry to receive applications for orphans. I sat there 2 hours, and not one came. So I left the vestry and walked home. And on the way, I brought to my mind this very verse, in everything. And I said to myself, you asked for money, you've obtained it. You asked for helpers, you've obtained them. You asked for a suitable house, you have obtained it. And while you were furnishing it, you asked God step by step about everything that He would guide and direct. But you never asked God for orphans. This was not willfully and intentionally left out, but it never came to my mind to ask for orphans. I said to myself, there are tens and of thousands of destitute orphans. There will be no difficulty in getting them. And therefore, I never prayed about it. Now I saw how sinfully I had acted about this matter. And when I came home, I locked the door of my room and cast myself flat on the floor, confessing my sin, how I had not regarded the Word of God in this particular detail. And I lay on the floor 2 or 3 hours in confession and humiliation of myself before God. At last, after I had once more examined my heart, I came to this. It is for your glory, Lord, that I have begun this, And if you would be more glorified by bringing the whole to nothing and putting to me to shame before my fellow men and fellow believers, bring it to nothing if you can be more glorified. But if it would be for your glory, be pleased to forgive me and send me orphans. And I rose cheerfully from the floor on which I had been lying in prayer and supplication. Next morning at 11, the first orphan was applied for. Before a month was over, 42 came, and since more than 12,000. A plain proof that there were plenty of orphans to be had. I have given the details of this to show what we have to understand by in everything bringing our matters before God and never attempting to carry our own burdens. And I cannot tell you what a blessing this has been to me to hand every one of my burdens on God and never attempt to carry them myself. I had done this before, but this little circumstance taught me the lesson so perfectly that I have never lost sight of it since, by prayer and supplication. Ordinary prayer and oft-repeated prayer is not enough. We must ask in the way that a beggar asks for alms and pursues us, sometimes 50 yards, and will not let us go till he gets something given to him. In a way, something like this, we have to bring our matters before God in order to have the blessing. And notice further, this is to be done with thanksgiving. So to speak, we have to lay a good foundation with praise and thanksgiving and then build on this prayer and supplication. For whatever our position in life, however great and varied and many our trials and afflictions may be, there is abundant reason for thanksgiving. Why? Because our Heavenly Father remains with us. Whatever is lacking, He is not taken from us. He remains to us. And our precious Lord Jesus, our heavenly friend, remains to us. However our own friends might forsake us, however heavy, great, and varied our trials and difficulties, He remains to us, and the Holy Spirit is given to us and remains to us. Our bodies are still a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God remains to us. Therefore, we still have abundant cause for praise and thanksgiving, and we should not lose sight of these blessings that remain. And what will be the result? We should be calmed, quieted down. We should say, I will yet be happy. My Heavenly Father will not forsake me, but will help me and keep me while yet in the body near Himself. And as is stated here, the result of all this will be the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, that calm, quiet, trustful state of heart which is called the peace of God, and which is so blessed that the greatest orator could not describe what it is, except he knew it. The greatest poet in the world could not represent to us in poetry unless he knew it by experience. The greatest painter could not represent on canvas what this peace of God is unless he knew it by happy experience. But it is to be known by every believer by the grace of God. And by the grace of God, I have habitually enjoyed it for 60 years. And therefore, because I know it is to be had while yet in the body, I affectionately beg and entreat, beloved brethren and sisters in Christ, to aim at it, and it is to be obtained in the way that it is stated before. Then this is the precious winding up of the matter, the fruit of it all. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word keep in the original is applied literally to military power, as if by military power we are kept. And then this spiritualization means that we should be kept in Christ Jesus, our minds and our happy hearts in Christ Jesus. That is just what real, true believers especially desire, that under no circumstances they may fall or dishonor God, but they may be kept from falling. Now we will not fall as long as our hearts and minds are kept in Christ Jesus. It is through in our version, but in the original. And this is by military power. Just as a garrison is sent to keep a fortress against the power of the enemy, So in like manner, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the instrumentality of the peace of God that we get by attending to this exhortation, we will be kept in Christ Jesus. Now, is not all this most precious? And will we not endeavor to obtain it through attending to this exhortation? Oh, it is worthwhile to attend to it. If you will allow me again to refer to my own experience, I could tell you what a peaceful, happy man I have been these 70 years, and every one of my beloved brethren and sisters in Christ who have not yet habitual peace may have it too. This is why I comment so continually on this. This peace of God, which passes all understanding, may be enjoyed not merely now and then, but month after month and year after year and for many a long year, even as I have had it now for over 70 years. And let my beloved brethren and sisters in Christ who have not had it as an habitual gift and blessing from God see for it so they can have it. I have not the least doubt that there are many in our midst who, like myself, enjoy this peace of God, but it should not merely be a few, but everyone. God grant that this may be the result of our time together.
So this guy, I mean, George Mueller, you heard at the top of the show just how many things this guy did, and it would be really easy to at least assume a person like that who did 250,000 Bibles, you know, thousands of orphans in his care, 17 years of traveling and preaching, 200,000 miles back again before the airplane, all these different things that he's involved in, you would at least think, okay, you know, when I meet these really busy ministry people, sometimes I meet them and they're carrying the load. The weight of it all, the stress of it all is on their shoulders. But George Mueller is not that. How to Live a Happy Life. One of the things he's emphasizing in this sermon is, what a peaceful, happy man I am. And I'm just like, a guy who's doing that much, how could you possibly be peaceful? How could you have any kind of rest with all that you have going on? And it reminds me of, I think it's a David Livingston met with George Mueller, and he had this quote. He said, I don't know how one person can do all the things you do in a day. And David Livingston himself, not exactly a guy who is famous for, you know, being chill across in Africa and all that. And if I'm remembering correctly, George Mueller quipped back to him kind of like, well, you forget there are two of us, right? And in Mueller's mind, I'm working with the Lord. The Lord is working with me. And if it seems like I'm doing a lot, it's because I'm not doing it alone. And in his mind, like, he's like, he somehow, despite all the things he did, and despite the stress, it would weigh on me to take care of 10,000 orphans and be responsible for feeding and educating and clothing them and doing it all just through the power of prayer. And yet, he's a peaceful guy. He's not only is he peaceful, but he's saying you can be this peaceful and happy too. Trust in the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Let the Lord take care of it for you, and you will see just how peaceful your life can be. Words cannot describe both how much I love this particular person from history and how much of an influence he has had on me. And I hope that as we go into the summer, we will be a little bit more on break than normal, but we've got 6 years worth of episodes to go check out, including other George Mueller episodes. But I hope you will apply some of that praying to God, trusting the Lord, really giving it all to him. Earlier in the intro, Joel said something to the effect of like, you know, this is not the way the world tells us to live. George Mueller does not live the way the world tells us to live. But when I look at his life, if I were picturing the words of Jesus Christ, if I were picturing the way that Christ tells us to live, and then I match up George Mueller's life, boy, they look a lot closer, don't they? And they certainly, his life, I think, looks a lot closer to what Christ told us to do than my own oftentimes does.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Revived Thoughts. Today's sermon was narrated by Jake Korn. Big thanks to Jake for reading today's sermon.
We're going on break. We have 6 years worth of episodes. You have lots of content. You also, if you're craving more, and you probably are, you don't want that. You know, maybe think, oh, those old sermons that were revived 3 years ago are stale, unlike the old sermons revived today. But if you're still wanting more, join us on Patreon. We have a new deep dive coming out that you will on the Knights Templar. We also have some old deep dives that never made it to the public feed. Joan of Arc, the Salem Witch Trials, and the First Crusade. And the First Crusade is a very important one because it is deeply interlinked with this Knights Templar episode that we have going out. So you really need that one to understand. Not to understand, but it helps to understand the one that comes after it. So, yep, definitely lots of good content. If you are somebody who wants to speak a sermon, make sure you send us an email. And in the meantime, leave us some comments, some feedback. Tell us you miss us on the social medias or on our ratings and reviews so that we are even more excited to come back and see you all in 2 months. This is Troy and Joel, and this is Revive Thoughts.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.